offer will end on May 10th, so don't wait.
To order, go to balanceofnature.com or call 1-800-246-8751 and use discount code CANYON.
This just in. Stupidity has taken over the world. Not the normal kind of stupid. The advanced kind. The Kate Daly Show starts now.
Climate experts believe the next ice age is on its way. According to recent evidence, it could come sooner than anyone had expected.
By the way, I was, just so you know, I'm the guy that did all this stuff. Read Real Clear Politics. I'll tell you about how I started this whole thing back in 87 on climate change.
I'm just going to bet that you didn't know that Joe Biden is the guy that started climate change back in 1987. Yeah. Like I said in the last hour, he just needs to let 1974 know that, because in 1974, they were saying we were going to be popsicles and frozen over by the time of 1979. So that was a clip, an actual news clip from 1979, Time Magazine, National Geographic, you name it, ABC, all of them going after climate change, which they didn't change the word to climate change. Not even in 87 was it referred to that. So anyway, you know, little lies politicians tell that are not so little, but they tell them anyway. And so we'll be going there on the show a little bit, just talking about Kamala Harris and some of the lies that are out there, the constant lies that we get to hear and what the liberal media discusses. Also, I have Uncle Milty with me. You're listening to The Kate Daly Show, so I welcome you. And you can go to katedalyradio.com. You can also email me, kate@katedalyradio.com. Happy to hear from you. A couple of things. There was a huge liberal story. And the reason we're saying liberal is that the news media that is extremely liberal are the ones reporting this. Mm-hmm. But they were going after Trump's inaugural committee, or at least it appears that way. They're not really doing that, but they're putting out in the press that the millions spent on the inauguration, that they should be looking at this, and they're seriously hoping that this can point to something else about Russia. Russia, Russia, Russia. I feel like we should play the Brady Bunch, you know, with Marsha. Marsha, Marsha, Marsha. Go ahead.
Well, this is the extension now from the Mueller investigation. Mm-hmm. This is the part that was turned over to the federal prosecutors in New York.
Right.
In that district. So now they've decided they're going to investigate on whether or not President Trump's inaugural committee misspent some donated money of the record $107 million it received. Of course, Obama's budget was $170 million for his
right.
inauguration.
There was not one single problem with
no
Obama's
problem
budget.
There
Don't
at
even
all.
Look at that. Only look
but
at Trump.
But not only are they going after to find out if there was any misspent donated funds, they're going after the donors also
yes.
to see if there was any issues there.
Now, I just want to remind everyone the crux of the story. If you were let's put it this way. If you were an investigator, who'd be the first person on this that you would go investigate? Let's say you wanted a sham investigation. Who'd be the first? It probably would be the very top, those at the top of the organizations that ran it, right?
Mm-hmm.
Wrong. No, the prosecutor, the investigators in this case are going after the low-hanging fruit, the ones that dealt with the least amount of money because they were friends of Melania. So they're actually saying in the articles that they haven't really broached the top people of the chain in the inaugural, but they're quite certain they'll find something. Oh, okay, but wouldn't that be your first recourse? You'd go after those people to make sure what they did, since they held most of the money. And you'll never get an investigation into anyone else's inaugural. They're so desperate for anything they can come up with, anything, that I think they should investigate the chef. Maybe the chef and all the food people, maybe they should investigate those buttons.
Uh-huh.
You know what I mean? At the White House. I mean, there could be a slew of things they could try to come up with in investigating this even further, right? Give me a break.
It follows the same formula now as every investigation.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
First, they announce the investigation. Then they say what possibly could be found
yeah,
in the investigation.
Even though they don't have any evidence
Not a bit.
Of it.
It's not
like,
a bit
like
of
a
evidence.
Wish list. It's a wish list.
Yeah.
Okay.
But this is what we might
right.
find. And you know that Trump's guilty. So this is what we might find.
Mm-hmm.
And it's always this way. And then slow but sure,
mm-hmm.
there's no evidence.
Nope.
And they'll spend a year investigating
yep.
it, talking about this right up to the election. with no evidence whatsoever.
I think Nancy called it like, what did she squeal? The wrap-up smear.
Yeah, the wrap-up so schmear.
Schmear, like she's going in for a bagel. So you put that up there and you go, this is what we're going to say about the candidate, true or false.
Mm-hmm.
Then you spend a lot of money and a long time investigating, only to, at the very end, only have it headlined so that people think it happened, only at the end to go, I guess it didn't. It's so much fun for these people. And Nancy barked it out a long time ago, explaining exactly what they do. And they're so good at it. So now they're going after the inaugural, which I just find hilarious. They have really gotten to the bottom of the barrel on what they can investigate, because their two-year investigation didn't hold any water. Hi, caller. Welcome to the show. Go right ahead.
Oh, hi.
Hi.
I feel kind of strange. Would you investigate me?
I know you did something wrong, and we're going to be here to find it, citizen.
Well, I just feel terrible, and if it's not a therapist, I need somebody to look somewhere with a big searchlight. I need help.
Well, thanks for the call, concerned citizen. I'm going to sick Uncle Milty on you. He'll find something.
Yeah. Ellie Hernig, a former federal prosecutor, told the reporter, anytime someone donates to an inaugural committee, there is obviously some sort of generalized expectation of access.
What?
But access to the president. But if you can show that something goes beyond a generalized, unspoken expectation, then you have a bribery case.
Wow.
So that's what this is all trying to claim, that anybody that donated to his inaugural fund was trying to buy access. You know, kind of like the Russians paying Bill Clinton $500,000 for a speech.
Yeah, right?
Yeah.
Or was it Russia? No, because they've been paid by Russia, too, but China. They got paid a lot by China, too, just like Biden's getting a lot of
Biden
money from China.
Yeah, Biden in China, too.
China is squarely behind Biden. Mm-hmm. I mean, they are going to be putting so much money up behind him.
Yeah, and they know they can control him because they've already blackmailed him over his kid.
Yeah, but hey, you know, don't look at that. Look at the fact that Trump was already president, when they were planning the inauguration.
No.
And then look at, try to find something that's connected to Russia somehow. Maybe somebody has a Russian middle name, or maybe they have a dog named after something in Russian form. I don't know. One of the donors? I'm sure that they could press forward and find something. But I love the headline.
Well, it just makes me sick the way they do it.
I know.
Here's another statement.
What's that?
If they were spending nonprofit money on expenditures that are not allowed for a nonprofit, then that could be a tax fraud situation.
Oh, yeah. Where was the investigation? Yeah, where was the investigation on all of the planes filled with cash? Because they couldn't do a bank transfer in today's technology. So we either had to send it on mules or over on a plane, I guess, to get it over there to Iran. But what about that investigation when Obama sent all the money?
Yeah, didn't happen.
Because he actually sent cash. This wasn't like I'm connecting a dot that has nothing to do with the other dot, so I'm going to make a big story out of it. But this was actual cash.
You know, kind of like the same kind of cash transaction they call money laundering.
Yeah, like that. Like that. And what about the investigation? When did that ever happen into the Hillary bill debacle?
Yeah,
the Hillary Foundation, when all the money in Haiti, because we know it disappeared. Where did that go?
That would be misappropriation of nonprofit funds.
But that makes it. See, you know, the problem is it's too easy. You got to go over something or after something that doesn't exist to make the job a little harder.
Yeah.
And then if you can put that out in the press, it makes it a little better, I think. Gives them something to do. See, those other scandals, they're just too scandalous to go after because they're too obvious. It has to be. It's got to be the reason. I can't think of another reason. By the way, Amash, what happened to you? We were going to have to do a show. What happened to you, Justin Amash? Amash used to be one of my favorite Congress people because he was willing to stand alone. I didn't always agree with him, but I did a lot of the time. He actually came out and said the Barr report had something that pointed to collusion when no one else ever thought that except for a few angry liberal progressives. But what happened to Justin Amash? There wasn't anything in that report.
No, and the media's just eating this up because he's the first Republican to actually come out and say that the president's guilty and should be impeached.
What in the world? I would love to know. So there's been, I don't know what that party has on him. Maybe there's some stuff going on behind the scenes. There has to be for him to take such a weird stand on this. What an odd thing.
Well, he has not pointed to a specific thing. He's just said, I believe the president's guilty of this. Yeah. But he hasn't said, here's why.
Yeah, at all.
No.
Nothing.
No, but it's just the way I read it.
Yeah. So where's all the details?
No details.
And I've also heard that he's even thinking about running as a Democrat.
Yeah. There's some speculation.
There's some chatter about that.
See, he's going to face a primary challenge if he stays as a Republican. So, and he's concerned he won't win that.
Right. He's in, Michigan?
Yeah. Grand so Rapids. He believes that by changing parties, he can win and stay in office.
Well, I don't know what happened to him, but there isn't anything in that report. And I know that people want to see something in that report. Mm-hmm. But, you know, it's been interesting to watch him over the course of this last year. That's why I'm just throwing it out there. Does somebody have something on him? Because... Just like what you said, and if the next question that you would say to me is, well, wait a minute, can't he disagree with Trump? For sure, you can disagree with Trump, or you can find criticism in some of the things he's doing, of course, or all of the things if you want to. But when you can't dial it down to a reason, and you're just throwing condemnation out there without saying why. Whenever we talked about Obama, we always disclosed why. Why was it that we were not okay with what he was doing? If you're going to be somebody that condemns and makes sure that you get a headline without ever discussing why, there's a problem with that.
Yep.
And so the fact that he's not dialing it in and saying or disclosing why he thinks there was something in that report that nobody else seemed to see, then I have a problem with that. And I think that needs to be outed. And, you know, there have been a couple decisions with him lately. I've just gotten to the point where I don't trust anyone in Congress anymore or the Senate. I think that...
None.
I think that there are so many wishy-washies in there that will be told what to do and say. And there's only a few instances that I can go, okay, well, let's pat him on the back. It's getting fewer and fewer and fewer. I used to think back in the day, before I ever did talk radio, that the party was always up against the other party and that the party would always usually stand on the right side of things. But just like in the swing votes of the judges of Kavanaugh and Gorsuch, you're going to see them swing to the left. And just like that, you cannot say it's a party division. But what you can say is maybe who's influencing them or who is behind some of their decisions and why. Because it has nothing to do with the parties anymore. You can't divide it between party lines anymore. This is getting really weird out there. Weird territory. And good. Maybe it's outing itself. Maybe they're eating
their own.
There are
no parties.
Yep.
I know there really aren't.
Be right back on the Kate Daly Show.
Is the Kate Daly Show.
Boy, isn't that true? I just have to look good. I don't have to be clear. Very, very true words. In fact, we'll do a little ousting ourselves that media that they're talking about in that song, Dirty Laundry, would not do. Because why? Because they're bought and sold. They're told exactly what they can say and what they can't. Welcome back to the show, by the way. 888-673-1450. I want to bring up something. Hat tip to Susan on this, by the way, but... We want to bring up why we're saying that Amash, Justin Amash, might be very influenced by his vote by his stance against Trump. Because it probably isn't about Trump, is the message.
Did you know that in his congressional district in 2010, October of 2010, his opponent, Patrick Miles, had ads accusing Justin Amash of owning a Chinese factory?
Really?
Back in 2010. Guess what?
Yeah.
He does.
Guess what? He does.
Yeah.
Okay, so let's talk about this, because when we say there's no parties, there's only influence. And influence can come in the way of several different things. So influence, as you know, and I know I'm preaching to the choir here, but this is for the ignorant people outside of this show or listening to this show that might not get this, and maybe explaining this to them would work, is that it's not really about party. Only when it comes to re-election, and of course those funds are very important, so they must toe a lot of the party line. But the influence in certain decisions. So if, let's just say, Amash goes along and he gives out some pretty good verdicts on things, okay? And I've followed him ever since I've been in radio. Mm-hmm. So I'll tell you, he's done pretty well on some stances, and he really has nailed them. But here comes Trump. And Trump starts to put the hooks on China, which he should have. We should have had presidents doing this all
along ago.
But we even had Clinton selling secrets to China and Obama in bed with China. So we have had a lot of people in bed with China. So what's interesting about this is that when it comes to what China's going to be doing and what China's going to be doing to get Biden in office because they don't like the tariffs or whatever, mm-hmm. whatever the case may be with China wanting to absorb more power and how in bed we are, does anyone realize that in his 2017 financial disclosure form, Representative Justin Amash reports income of between $100,000 to $1 million a year for his ownership stake in Michigan Industrial Tools. And Michigan Industrial Tools, the parent company, is manufactured in China, and it produces Tekton Tools, which is Justin Amash's family business in Michigan. Okay, now that's a pretty big spread of income, right? So he is a co-owner also in Dynamic Source International, a Chinese company that supplies Michigan Industrial Tools. And Dynamic Source International shows the company operates manufacturing and factory facilities located in the capital city in a province in China. So would that weigh in on the fact that without having any details at all, Justin Amash just comes out with the big condemnation of Trump through the Mueller investigation and the report? And he basically condemned Trump and basically condemned Barr for not telling the truth about the report, that the report involved, you know, points to collusion.
Mm-hmm.
Now, people have read the report, still can't find anything in the report that actually points to anything that was a criminal act or against the law of any kind. And so here's Justin Amash without a single detail, but a huge alliance to China and a huge alliance to the money he makes coming from China, all of a sudden coming out and being very vocal on this.
Amazing.
Yeah, the influence works in a lot of ways. And so here's a huge question for everybody listening that we actually should have voiced quite a long time ago, but it really does bring you to the conclusion of this. Because, you know, with Feinstein being in bed with China, housing Chinese spies, I mean, you name it, right? When somebody's running for office, locally, statewide, or federally, do you ask them where their money comes from and who could be influential in the holdings that they have as an elected official? Because I think in this day and age, we better be asking that question. I just heard a campaign speech where it said, I have passion and purpose. That's basically what people are running on, right? I have purpose. I'm going to go fix Washington, even though I've been part of the problem in Washington. Just ignore that, because I'm the one to fix it. I aided and abetted it, but I'm still the one to fix it. And then what they do is they don't disclose who's influencing them in their life and who's going to influence their vote. And I'm not talking about party. I'm talking about money.
I like it when they say they've devoted their lives to public service. That's how they accumulated $50 million.
Oh, gosh. I know. Yeah. And it's very true, though. I mean, how many times do we ask them that? People always ask us or email us and say, as they have for almost a decade here, what should we ask somebody running for office? Ask them where they get their money from.
Yeah.
And if it's out of the country, you should know that might take part in their decision-making process. You're going to see China back a lot of people in office that will favor China. And the reason that they're able to do that in such droves is because, they own a lot of us as far as they own a lot of land. They own ports. They own different things. They own Wall Street. They own different things like that. But they also own people, too, and their money is coming from there. We have been so heavily in bed with them for so long that I just think that we mistakenly think that only lobbyists are going to come to these elected officials to bribe them, right? But that isn't the only problem. The other problem is something like this with Justin Amash. This is his income to his family.
Mm-hmm.
And he can't go against that. So what does he do? Does he put out press that is very damaging to Trump? He acts like nobody's seen this report, but he's seen it, but he just can't disclose it. That's not true. It's out there. There's some redacted, but it's out there.
Sure.
So that's not true. He could come out with details, but he doesn't.
Look, an honorable man would have said, I can't vote on this. I can't say anything about this because the president's dealing with China and I own a business in China.
Amen to that. Yes, you're exactly right. Fantastic point. I'm glad you just said that.
But there is no honor among thieves.
No, there isn't. There isn't. And just on that note, I had written this on Facebook, and I wanted to share this with you because you might not be on Facebook with me. But I actually posted a post about the 12 steps to take if you are going to continue to vote for more of the same and you have full confidence in the establishment. Because I noticed that people that do oftentimes on Facebook will say, well, I'm for kind of like a Mitt Romney or I'm for a Mitch McConnell, and they're doing an awesome job. They can't tell you why. They can't tell you any details, but they're just sure of it. And I think, are you the stupidest person on earth? That's honestly what I'm thinking in my head, but I don't say that. So this is what I would say to somebody. Instead of saying, you've got to be the most stupid person on earth, this is what I would share in the 12 steps in how to have full confidence in the establishment, a globalist, or a super nice politician, just to ensure that we keep getting more of the same. Number one, ignore their voting record completely. Don't even look at it. It has nothing to do with anything. The speeches are the only thing that are important. So just number two, listen intently to speeches and feel good about them and then walk away. Number three, judge a candidate on only their quick wit, their polished statement, their class, their temperament, their dodging, bullet dodging with a smile. Are they able to do that without showing what they're thinking? The nice personality and the capability of looks like a leader to me. And then also maybe walks nice because that's important. It shows leadership and it shows that they've got it going on. And then also doesn't kick puppies. Make sure they don't kick puppies. The other thing is number four, make sure they have a nice, non-embarrassing family for the poster. I'm also going to add, ignore any money trails they have coming to them or the influence that can have on their vote. Also, hope they write a lot of bills to prove their leadership. Ignore that those same bills are going to restrict your own liberty, okay? Just ignore that part. But just want that want the fact that he would write more bills because that will show he's up on everything. Give extra points for having worked for corrupt government in some capacity to show that they're a yes man. You know, yes men are always a good thing, right? And so you want as much yes as possible. So just show, you could showcase that by saying, I am a yes man. I've worked in government and I've done so well that they're supporting me. The establishment's supporting me. That'll speak volumes to keep you in an office. Also, believe the candidate when he says he'll fix Washington while admitting that he was just part of it, but he wasn't part of that part. You know, he was just the good part, whatever that is. And he didn't do anything to prevent it, but just ignore that. And then also generally accept vague answers to really serious questions where they never fully commit to anything. They just go, rah, rah, America, we love you and we're fixing you, but they don't really answer your question. Because it's super hard when they don't answer it. But just know in your heart that they're going to do the right thing, whatever it is you think that is. So they're just know in your heart and be satisfied with that. You don't need a full answer to a full problem. Also, convince yourself that as long as the person has the same morals and values as you, that they also understand the job and the Constitution and how to stand alone for it, because the two have a lot in common, right? And so if they have the same morals and values and that's all you're hearing in the speech, chances are they'll know how to do the job. Just like if I heard a candidate for an accountant tell me that they're really good at it, I should just listen to that because we both feel the same on abortion. Not exactly the fact that they don't know the numbers, right? They don't know how to deal with numbers. So I wouldn't hire an accountant that didn't know what they were doing in the actual job. I wouldn't look for their stance on abortion to prove that to me. Also, make sure the candidate doesn't say anything too radical or outside the box to make people feel uncomfortable. Stay within the crowd-approved viewpoints. You don't want to seem like one of those guys. And then, because nobody wants to know that you can think, they just want you to go with the yes-man approach. And then feel extra good that the media favors them, because we know that they only favor liberal progressives. But just ignore that, because it favors them. And so you haven't heard any bad press on it. And then number 12, put head in sand. Now, you can skip to number 12 and you can bypass all this, as you said earlier, Uncle Milty. I mean, yeah. If that's a lot of work, just put the head in sand and move on. It's okay. Check the box, flip a coin, whatever. But we do have to add the part where you do ask a little bit more question, a few more questions on where their money's coming from personally, because it might be influential in their vote.
You know, speaking of where their money comes from.
Uh-huh.
They file a financial disclosure report mm-hmm. every year.
Right.
In 2015, Justin Amash filed his. And there's a particular Schedule C that you should look at on every politician.
Mm-hmm.
Schedule C is earned income. Earned income.
Mm.
None disclosed. All of his income is unearned income.
Hmm.
Which is a different taxable uh-huh. income, you know.
Yeah.
But he doesn't earn anything.
Hmm. Well,
it's all investments. It's all in stocks. It's all.
Yeah. You know, and you're also going to hear a lot of lies. And so when I come to Justin Amash, I'm going to pretty much know it's China in his court that's pressing him
sure.
for this this alienation of Trump. Because you know why? Because I can go back to all of his other stances and know that some of what Trump's about, he actually likes.
Of
so
course.
There's a reason for this, and I'm gonna go with China on that one. Another thing, Kamala Harris was out with the same old tired, women don't have anything. Women don't have anything. They haven't gotten anything prestigious. They're not paid the same. Blah-bitty-gook, blah-bitty-gook, lie. I just want everyone to know that Chicago, we need to celebrate, right? Because you have a gay black woman mayor, right? So I just wanted everyone to know, maybe they should give Kamala Harris the memo. Women have been doing a lot of things. We have a woman head of the CIA who I abhor, but okay. And we have a lot of women doing really a lot of things in America. They are not deprived. They're getting everything they want. And so Kamala Harris is going to use that to be president. And it makes absolutely zero sense. But yes, Lori Lightfoot, gay, black, and a woman. There you go.
How come she's not living in a ghetto somewhere?
I don't know, but that's exactly what they would purport. So anyways, be right back on the Kate Daly Show.
Talk lines are open now. Call 888-673-1450. This is the
Something
Kate Daly Show.
With the world today. I don't know what it is. Something's wrong with our eyes. We're seeing things in a different way. And God knows it ain't his. It sure ain't no surprise. Yeah. We're living on the edge.
Welcome back, Kate Daly Show. Wow, are we on the last leg of the show? Jeez Louise, that went fast.
Wow.
I know. It zipped along today.
Always does.
It does. It really does. I mean, I have about 15 tabs up to talk about. I know. That's how insane it gets because of the headlines and the load of them. But welcome back to the show, katedalyradio.com, The Kate Daly Show. You can email me, kate@katedalyradio.com. Love to hear from you. And Uncle Milty's with me. Big thank you to Dr. Pesta for joining us in the previous hour. Just talking about this, you know, Chicago got a new mayor. And Chicago elected a black, gay woman with a very tall white wife, very tall, muscular white wife. Very, mm-hmm. very interesting duo.
With an Adam's apple.
Well, they have a daughter. And
no, she has a daughter.
She has a daughter. And yes, thank you for clarifying. So this is the deal. You know, I want to be really honest here. If a person was gay and black and a woman, and knew the Constitution and would stand for it and would stand up for your freedom, for your liberty, and move to have limited government and be a voice of reason in debate and continuously bring up the Bill of Rights and the protections that it deserves from our government and not insert more rights into that Bill of Rights that are than are talked about in the Constitution. If we had a gay, black, transgender, I don't even care, name the list. I don't even care. If somebody could do that, I'd probably vote for him. The problem here is that in America, for some strange oddball reason, if a woman is gay and black and gay and running for office, you're probably, and I say this not to brush a broad stroke, but it's all I've seen. So I don't know how not to. But I've never seen somebody like that stand up for the Constitution. I've never seen somebody that wears all of those hats that actually stood for limited government and your rights. So the rights, the God-given rights, and said they were God-given, they were supposed to be protected by government. So that's what I find kind of fascinating, is in these groups, when they're running for office, they only espouse the leftist progressive party line, which is inventing new civil rights at every on every corner, and also progressiveness in the way of the lie of human-caused climate change and we're the enemy of the earth. And, I mean, name it, right? All of these things. We have to take your guns, even though it makes no sense. Even though we have a high crime rate in Chicago, we need to keep taking your guns. All of these things. I've never seen him stand up for what was right. So listen to her speeches. Listen to what she has to say. She's all about change, quote-unquote change. Well, they say change because they have nowhere else to go, because if you go to principles don't change. So you can't, somebody for principles would be saying, well, I want to go back to principles. And what do progressives say? I want to change and move forward and get away from principles. And so it doesn't even matter that she's gay and black to me if she could do the job, but she can't do the job, nor anyone that I've ever found in this group that wears these hats can do the job of a Thomas Jefferson. It's really sad to see.
You know, there's a prerequisite when you're defending God-given rights.
Mm-hmm.
You have to believe in God.
Well, there's that.
If you don't believe in God, you might as well stop right there.
I agree. You're right. You're absolutely right. But that's what's so hard to see. It's not like I'm against somebody just for wearing those hats. It's because they don't understand the job. In those steps on how to keep getting the more of the same in America, and how to keep getting all of these establishment gurus, these people that are these people that are given money to run to get that position. If we don't start calling this out, and if we just keep putting our head in the sand and we keep looking at the same things, do they have nice teeth, nice hair? Can they answer a question with class the way I'd like them to answer it if I was dating them? You're not dating them. That's why I say I don't care if she's black and gay. That doesn't bother me at all. But why is it that when you have somebody in that wears those hats in particular, all of them, you're going to find the progressive leaning or heralding of the progressive left's purpose, when all somebody can say is, I have purpose and passion, vote for me, and I'm just going to be about change. I'm not really going to disclose what the change is about, but we just want change, so therefore vote for me. That was what Obama was all about. Change.
Mm-hmm.
Do you notice how Trump always said, make America great again? There was something to that slogan, because it wasn't like change and progressiveness is awesome, because it's not. The way they're changing us is to turn us into China. We're either America or we're not. And so that's why I have a problem with these people. And when I say these people, I'm talking about a leftist progressive, not necessarily gay or black. I'm just saying that for some reason they're drawn to that party, the party that is not about God. They're not about being a respecter of persons with the Constitution, equality for law under the law, which is the only equality we're supposed to have. They want equality with everything else, equal outcomes. Everything that I detest as far as it contradicts the Constitution. So I feel sad, because people listening to the show would go, well, you're just against gay people and black people. Not at all. But I just don't find too many people out there, white male or black female or gay female or male transgender. I don't find a lot of people that understand the Constitution that can do the job that they're supposed to do. That's what it is.
Well, equality is not synonymous with superiority.
Mm-hmm.
And they always want to have things to put them in a superior position.
Right. Right.
I mean, that's just the way it is.
Yep. In fact, nothing in Lori Lightfoot's speech as she's replacing Rahm. You know, you remember Rahm Emanuel, right? Hey, if that opens up a window for us to do something, let's do it. You know, that guy. You know, everything in her speech was all about, well, she said nothing about the Constitution and nothing about getting back to that. She only wanted to go in and show that she would do something different by getting rid of a lot of people in local government there in Chicago. But she only talked about them profiting off the office, but nothing about limiting their power. See the difference?
Well, her first act was to sign. She pledged to sign an executive order, and she did it, to strip aldermen of their power over licenses and permits in their wards in the city.
Mm-hmm.
So she signed an executive order to that effect. But the aldermen are making fun of it, saying that that piece of paper has no authority whatsoever. They can't do that because the way the Constitution or the city is written, this is the structure of our government. Aldermen do have that right to do that.
Mm-hmm.
And that changes the entire way Chicago works. I mean, aldermen are, they're like God in their wards.
I agree. We have a lot of overreach right now. We actually have a bill to trying to make its way. Actually to vaccinate all children.
Really?
Mm-hmm. Yep. This is a Democrat in Florida, of course, because there's nothing about the Constitution. It's only about encouraging overreach. And it's devastating. It's H.R. 2527, 116th Congress, 2019-2020. And it's to amend the Public Health Service Act to condition receipt by states of preventative health service grants on the establishment of a state requirement for students in public elementary and secondary schools to be vaccinated in accordance with the recommendations of the Advisory Committee on Immunization Practices. It is mandatory. They are going to be, remember how we said the measles, there was a reason they were going to bat on the measles and trying to convince everybody it was an epidemic, even though the two lies they told about it were that you have 19 strains and it only vaccinates against one. That's why when you get the measles and your body naturally becomes immune to it, you actually get immunization on all 19 strains. The other thing is this, is that the cases that they're telling you about, the 750 cases, majority of them are vaccination. The same symptoms arrive when you have a reaction to the vaccine. So instead of going after the vaccine, they're just saying to everybody, see, it's those darn unvaccinated people. That isn't true. Mostly the ones that have the 750 are vaccinated.
Mm-hmm.
So your unvaccinated isn't your problem. It is not your problem. So now they've been using that to the hilt. You've been bombarded by propaganda. And when I say those things to people, they have a hard time hearing them because they believe the propaganda so well so that if a doctor says do it, they go, well, we have to do it. We have to vaccinate. I just want to ask you this. Did the doctor tell you it was only on one strain and not the other 18? Probably not. And did they tell you you might have a reaction that fits the same symptoms as measles to the vaccination that you're getting? No. You didn't hear that either. And did you actually read the retraction of one city in New Jersey that said that, yeah, we reported all these cases of measles, but it did turn out that it was reaction to measles? Mm-hmm. It really actually wasn't measles. It was just a reaction to the vaccine. So I just want to let people know that we were calling this out a while back, and we were saying that they were going to do this, and they truly have done it. This was May 3rd, and now it's making its way. And it's also cited as Vaccinate All Children Act of 2019.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It's coming. You should be very, very afraid of the government being able to say what gets injected into your body and into the bodies of your kids.
Well, it's not a doctor telling you that you need to be vaccinated. It's the government telling
yes,
you.
Yes, it is. Yeah, you've got to be afraid.
Yeah.
And for all of those still that have a hard time with me talking about this, because you just have a hard time because this is the one thing that you say, no, government's right about. I'd like a list of what government has been right about, because I know that you won't be able to make one. The other thing is this, is please listen to the guests I have on the show that talk about the truth about this, that say we are not being told the truth, and there's a reason they want to bump this up to be forced. If vaccinated aren't the problem, unvaccinated, why are they forcing everyone to do it? There have been kids in every decade that have not been vaccinated. Have you seen a huge resurge of anything? Because nope. I'm going to tell you, 750 cases nationwide is not a big deal. 750 cases in a county shouldn't be a big deal.
No.
Countrywide, are you 700 under 1,000 cases of something, and that's an epidemic in America with 330 million people?
And it turns out there weren't even that many.
Yeah, and it turns out that there actually weren't that many, that this was a reaction to the actual vaccine that they got, that there might be a problem with that batch. There might be a problem with us becoming immune to things just like antibiotics.
Yep.
Okay. So now they want to shove 150 more of these vaccinations at us. They have these in waiting right now. Bill Gates has been working with the CDC on these. You can't tell me you don't see a problem with that. There's a lot of money to be made in the vaccine department. Why do you think he's in it? This was a computer guy that had no business being in your healthcare. Yet, he is the guy that's going to make a ton of money. And you don't think there's a reason that we have legislation forcing kids to do this? Forcing them to do this. There's so much money to be made, just like money in the abortion rings. There's so much money in abortion. They don't even disclose the half of it. And I'm not talking about body parts. I'm talking about abortions in general and all the federal and state funding that goes in to pay for them. These are money makers.
Maybe instead of forcing all this stuff on us, maybe we could make a deal with them and just say, look, when our child is born, we'll buy it for $100,000. Leave us alone.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Yeah, and, you know, I'm horrified that people refuse to look at the other side of this vaccination issue, because I can go back through the decades and show you that all of our unvaccinated kids have never done a darn thing to the vaccinated ones, and usually that's why people think they were vaccinated against everything. So that isn't the problem. The problem is that you're not being told the truth. You're not being told how much money's being made, and you're not being told that force and coercion is the only way they do business. So please, please stop listening to the garbage. And I would say, even if this is the one thing, this and climate change, you think I'm off my rocker. I have more stats to prove my case than you do. I promise you. I promise you. And that doesn't come because I think I'm so great. Not at all, actually. I have so much to learn. But what I have learned is horrifying. When it comes to what these industries are all about and what the government's all about.
Yep.
You tell me when the government has not been about forcing you to do something, and tell me something they've done right. I don't think you can come up with it. There isn't anything they've done right. I'm not
but
kidding.
But it's always in our best interest.
But it's always in our best interest because they know. Ouch. Yeah, a bill to vaccinate all kids. Wow. Can't believe we're there. Be faithful, be fearless. Have a great one. See you tomorrow. Huge things on whistleblowers tomorrow, too.